Well, amen. It's good to see you this morning. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and let's turn to Psalm 103. And again, let me just reiterate, if I may, Steve's invitation to you. I'm going to be here tonight. Amen? Amen. Steve invited me. So I'm going to take that personal invitation. I'm coming. And so we just want to remind you about our prayer meeting tonight at 6 o'clock, and we'd love to have you come and be a part of it. I know you can stay at home and you can pray there. I understand that, and I hope all week long that you're in prayer for our Vacation Bible School in your home, and when you're out and about that you'll be thinking about VBS. But I'm going to tell you something. There's something wonderful when the people of God come together. I was thinking, and I shared it with our group this morning, that, you know, I love it when my wife says to me at home, would you like an ice cream? Would you like some ice cream? I sure would have that ice cream. I equally love it, and even more so, when my wife says to me, gee, I feel like going to Friendly's. How about an ice cream sundae? And in reality, I'm probably more the one that does it to her than she does to me, but I look at it this way. I can have that bit of ice cream at home. That's nice. It's refreshing. But boy, that Sunday when I get the Friendly's, I mean, I just walk in there saying, wow, that's some ice cream with it all loaded up. You can stay at home and pray together by yourself at home or with family at home. You can do that. But what we want to encourage you to do is come, and there's nothing like praying with the church body. Amen. We'd love to have you come and pray together with the church body as a corporate whole. We want to do that. We have much to pray for on a Vacation Bible School. And I really hope that you come. You say, well, Sunday night, that's when my favorite TV program is on. Or that's when my favorite baseball team is on. I don't think anybody has a favorite baseball team right now. All right? So I know you can't use that. But I was looking at this little box up here that they drew, and they did such a wonderful job. And I noticed last week there was some windows that weren't quite ready. The curtains were still being made, and they hadn't purchased the lamps yet. But now every window is decorated, and you see shades and specialty curtains, and there's a cat up here in that apartment, and there's a little bird down there, and that's good that they're in separate apartments, but there's a little bird in that cage, like a little Tweety bird there, you know, and this is my favorite. It's the bowl of fruit window, because I could use more fruit. So all kinds, but you know, I was looking at that this morning when we were starting first service, and there's not one TV drawn in there. Not a one. And I thought, isn't that wonderful? These people that live in this tenement building are all going to be at the prayer meeting tonight. All right? They're not going to be tied up watching TV. So you have DVRs and those kinds of things that you can do, right? So come on out for our prayer meeting tonight. We're not going to keep you long, but we do want to have time for us to get together and pray, because there's much to pray about with our Vacation Bible School. Psalm 103, look there with me if you will. We have a few words that we want to share with you tonight, this morning, about God's benefits. A few words about God's benefits. And rather than read the whole chapter, we're going to focus on the first five verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul, in all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you for the opportunity that we have to be here this morning. And God, I pray your special blessing be upon each one as we worship you today. And Father, that you might do an everlasting work in all of our hearts this morning. God, that you would take your word and bless it to us. And Father, not only that we be blessed by you through the sharing and the preaching and teaching of your word, but Father, that we might bless you in turn. And Father, I pray that you'd help us never to forget the need to be a blessing to you. And so God, we thank you for this time we can come to this place set aside for worship. Thank you for the first service we had already. I thank you for the music we've had today. I thank you for the Galileans and Father, just the message and song that we've received. So God, speak to our hearts, challenge us, work in through us, God. That's what we desire. Fill us with Holy Spirit power and use us. And if there be one today who does not know you, or more, who do not know you as personal Savior through your Son, Jesus, his death on the cross for them, Father, save them, we pray today. And Father, for the believer, help us, I pray, to recount all the benefits that you bestowed upon those who know you in a personal way. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the background of this psalm is unclear. But what is clear when we look at this psalm is the desire on the part of David to praise God for all that he has done. If you look with me in verses 1 and 2 in this psalm, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." Everything within me cries out, "Bless his holy name." Verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And this is what we want to share with you this morning, an encouragement, all of us, a few words about God's benefits. But he also goes on, verses 1 through 5, he speaks of God's personal blessings. In verses 6 and 7, he speaks about national blessings. As we go on, verses 8 through 14, he talks of God's forgiving love. Verses 15 through 18, he highlights his eternal love. And then at the end, he brings the psalm right back full around again. He starts off blessing the Lord for all the benefits that God has provided. And in the end of the chapter, verses 19 through 22, he ends up with a universal call for all of us who name the name of Christ to be praising the Lord. And so what I'd like to do is talk to you just a little bit this morning on the subject of a few words about God's benefits. This is what I want to put into our minds this morning. And the three things that we broke down out of verses 1 through 5. First, if you notice with me, is the benefit of forgiveness. The benefit of forgiveness. Look at verse number 3. He says, "Who forgives," this is of God, "who forgives all your iniquities." And there it is. When a person comes to the Father through faith in Jesus, you remember that day when you realized you were a sinner in need of a Savior, couldn't save yourself, whether somebody handed you a gospel tract, somebody took the Bible and showed you, maybe you were at home, maybe you were out at a diner, maybe you were out having supper with a friend and they were concerned about you. You might have been sitting on your front step in your neighborhood and a conversation started, and before long you found yourself realizing that you were a sinner in need of a Savior, couldn't save yourself. And so that individual began to introduce you to a personal relationship to Jesus Christ. And that takes me back when I look at Psalm 103. I think about how I came to know the Lord and the circumstances around that, me coming to know the Lord. And one of the things that stood out to me in preparation for this message, and it still stands out now, is the fact that God tells us in His Word how He has forgiven us of all our iniquities. Not just a few. Not this part and this part, this, but these, no, all our iniquities. I love that. When we came to faith in Jesus Christ, all our sin forgiven. I like what the Bible says in Psalm 103, verse 12. This is the same chapter we're in. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. I love that. God forgives all. And this forgiving, this verb implies it's a continuous action. He who goes on forgiving. So even since you've been forgiven, your sin forgiven, heaven your home, every day this old nature that we have seeks to draw us back in a place we don't want to be, seeks to draw us in a place of sin we don't want to go. And when we succumb to that, we fall to that. 1 John 1:9 is in the scripture. And aren't you glad that when you run to 1 John 1:9, when you dive into it, when you let the voice of 1 John 1:9 just immerse you, aren't you glad to know that God continues, He keeps on, He goes on forgiving us our sin? I am so glad about that. Maybe I'm the only one. Are you glad about that? That God keeps forgiving you of your sin? The Bible says that if we confess our sin, what? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And how I love that. 1 John 1:7 says this, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." God forgives. And the beauty about the forgiveness of God, not only does God forgive, but God chooses to remember your sin no more. And I like that. How would you like it if every morning when you woke up And you know, whatever your regimen is, you wake up and then you make your way into the bathroom, the restroom, whatever you want to call it, and right there on the mirror, boom, it's all outlined. There's your sin. Every morning for you to see. Do you think that'd get old? For me, that would get old the first day, seeing my sin ever before me. But I'm so glad that when I received Jesus Christ, God takes my sin as far as the east is from the west, the deepest depths of the sea, and I believe to the highest origins out in space, unknown to man. God forgives my sin. And God chooses not to bring it up before my face anymore. He forgives all iniquity. Iniquity has to do with crookedness, not just our weaknesses. God forgives. Not just our failures does God forgive, but the gross, enormous, crimson red sins that we commit. Guess what? God forgives them all. Our original sin forgiven, actual sin forgiven, life sins forgiven, lip sins forgiven, heart sins forgiven, omission sins forgiven, commission sins forgiven, all washed away in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God for that, worthy to the Lamb, and we're thankful for that. So we have the benefit of forgiveness, all our iniquities forgiven. But God also goes on here and says in the same verse, verse 3, that He heals your diseases, all of our diseases. Now, I firmly, as I look at this, I believe not of the body, though He can do this according to His will, but I believe these are more in reference to diseases that afflict the soul. You say, what are you talking about? What I'm talking about is He heals the bent in man towards sin. We have a natural bent towards sin. See, when you got saved, the old nature moved over, the new nature moved in. So you have the struggle that goes on every day, the old nature with the new. And the one you feed the most is the one that's going to be the strongest, correct? You feed the old nature, that old sinful habit, the old man, that old nature, whatever label you want to put on it, you feed him or you feed her, and she's going to be the strongest. And you're going to start seeing spiritual things dropping off. You're going to start seeing spiritual interests dropping off. Why? You're feeding that old man constant, that old woman constant. You're feeding that. But when you feed the new nature, when you're in the Word of God and you're in prayer and you're with fellowship of brothers in Christ and you're with fellowship with sisters in Christ and you're feeding that new nature, you see the new nature becoming stronger. And as the new nature becomes stronger, it gives itself over more and more to the things of God. And the old man drops off. Those old sinful desires, they're lessening. And those things you used to look at, they're lessening. Those things you used to listen to, they're lessening. Those places that your feet used to take you, it's lessening. Those things that your hands did that were not a blessing to God, they're lessening. Why? Because you're feeding that new man. But the Bible tells us here, not only does God forgive all our iniquities, but also heals all of our sin. The bent that's in us towards sin. God stops the process. He arrests the process of corruption that attends a life of evil. Now, I know we use this verse a lot. And guess what? We're going to use it a lot more because we need it. We need to be reminded of it every single day. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creation, the Bible said. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. That's really a check. That's a check valve for you and me. It really is, as a Christian. Old things have passed away. Let them go. Leave the old man alone. Leave that old woman alone. Leave that old person alone and begin to live for Jesus Christ. So the benefit of forgiveness, all your iniquities, forgiven. Benefit of forgiveness, healing all your diseases, you're the new person in Christ. Live like that new person in Christ. That's what the Bible teaches us. The second thing I see in these verses is the benefit of freedom. If you notice in verse 4, the Bible speaks of our God, says, who redeems your life from destruction. Now I'm thinking of the weight of everlasting destruction, the reality of a hellfire. In Psalm chapter 9 and verse 17, the Bible says, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. We understand as we read the Scripture, study the Scripture, that Jesus delivers the repentant sinner from the fear of hell. Jesus delivers the repentant sinner from the fear of hell. That is, we've been redeemed. That is, we've been bought with a price. And also, let me put in a little word here, that price wasn't cheap. You received him as a gift, but for God, it was his only begotten Son, who your sin and mine, the sins of the world, were beat out on him, scratched out on him, plucked out on him. It wasn't cheap. In fact, Peter goes on to remind us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, it says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things or perishable things, such as things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood, you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and a lamb without spot. So even Peter reminds us, it's not just the blood of Christ, it is that precious blood of Christ which was able to redeem your soul. We had communion. In communion, we have that little wafer, reminds us of the broken body of Christ. We have the grape juice. It reminds us as a symbol of that shed blood of Jesus Christ. The hymnist had it right when he said, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I hope you never forget that. I hope you'll always remember that. See, there's the weight of destruction. He redeems our life from destruction. Praise the Lord. The second thing we see is the weight of life's burdens. All of life is tempered. We all go through burdens. We all face burdens that put pressure on and weight us. But you know, I have to say that all of life for the child of God is tempered by the grace of God. Here's the word here. Who crowns you with loving kindness. Here's the word, grace. It's tempered by the grace of God. This is grace for every step along the way. Now, no different than the grace shared in the scripture, we have the same grace today. Comes through the same provision, comes from the same one, same individual, same blessing upon all of us. I think of the Apostle Paul. You remember, Paul had a thorn in his flesh. Paul prayed not once, not twice, but three times. He prayed that the thorn of the flesh might be removed. You might have a thorn in the flesh. You certainly have a burden. You have something that weighs you down. You have something that tries your spirit. You have something that grieves your soul. We all undergo times of burden. There's not a person in this room that has not one time or another been pressed down by the burden that's been upon them. And many times there are individuals that pray, God, remove this from me. Once, remove this from me. Twice, remove this from me. Three times. And no different than Paul, God responds to Paul in 2 Corinthians 12. He said this, my grace is sufficient for you. Amen? My grace is sufficient for you. And oh, how we need to lean upon, oh, how we need to draw from the special, that precious grace that's afforded to every man, woman, and young person in the Lord Jesus Christ. Like a crown, look at the verse, who redeems your life from destruction, verse 4, who crowns you with loving kindness. It's like a crown that encircles the head. God's grace encircles all of life. And because God's grace encircles all of your life as a child of God, we have no need to fear. We have no need to feel like the bottom's dropping out. We have no need to believe, well, nobody understands or nobody cares or nobody knows. No, that's going against the grace of Almighty God that He's made available for all of us. In fact, we have no need to fear. Why? Because we know that from the moment we've received Jesus as our personal Savior, He's with us. He's with us. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Here's the verse. Let your conduct, let your manner of life be without covetousness. Be content, the writer says, with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Do you see that? Now notice who he is. And knowing helps, by the way. Knowing who God is helps every aspect of our life. Let me run down a few things for you. He is our Jehovah Jireh, Old Testament names of God, right? He's our Jehovah Jireh. He is the Lord who provides. Make no mistake about it. God cares about you. God cares about His church. God cares about the universal church. God cares about what's going on in our nation. God cares about what's going on in this world. None of this is going on. It ever takes God by surprise. God has not woke up this morning and say, "Oh, wow, I didn't know they'd be at South Swansea Baptist Church this morning. Well, that's great." That's not God. He's always aware, always knows what is going on in your life and mine. He's always ready to provide. He's our Jehovah Jireh. Second, He's Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. He's Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our shepherd. He's Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. He's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. He's Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. He's Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And by the way, all of these can be found in the Shepherd's Psalm, Psalm 23. These names for God. That's who God is. And God takes the weight of life's burdens from you and from me. I'll be honest with you. I don't understand how the world does it. I don't understand how a person without Christ does it. Who do they share their burden with? Who do they give the burden to? We have somebody who not only shares the burden, but is able to take the burden. From being our providing God to our God of peace, being our shepherd, being there for us, being our healer, our banner, overspreading us to His righteousness. Notice here He says, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness, that's His grace, and tender mercies. This tender mercies is interesting because it pictures God as a father. It pictures God as a father tenderly, every single day, tenderly caring for the needs of His children. And I love that. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus said this, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." In Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, that's the passage in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. You remember, if God cares for the sparrow of the air, He cares for you. If God cares for the fish of the sea, He cares for you. If God clothes the lilies, if He clothes the flowers and the grass, know that He cares for you. And it's not once, it's not twice, it's not three times, not four. Over and over and over, Jesus says to us in Matthew chapter 6, 25 through 34, "Do not worry, do not worry, do not worry. Do not worry." And what do we do as children of God? We worry. We worry. How many times does He have to say it before we catch it? Before it becomes a part of us, a living, thriving part. That God has loving kindness for you and for me, His grace. God exemplifies His tender mercies in a daily way for us. And even Jesus in Luke 12 begins, "Do not fear. Do not fear." Final thing I'd like to share with you that we see out of these verses is the benefit of fullness. The benefit of fullness. Look at verse number 5. The Bible speaks of our God and says, "Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." He satisfies us. For He satisfies, Psalm 107, verse 9, "For He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness." Now the world. God tells us, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." Right? We have the world, the flesh, and the devil. When He talks about the world, you and I know He's referring to the world system. That system that is really built on anything that's anti-Christ, it's anti-Christian. It's man saying, "Hey, I don't need God, I can do it. I'm my own, I can do it." Well, that's against the message of what God tells us in His Word. We all need Him. Without Him, we wouldn't have heaven. Without Him, we wouldn't understand life. Without Him, we just couldn't make it. I've tried to make it by my own, on my own. First 16 years of my life, you know what? As a 16-year-old teenager, I was messed up. Couldn't do it on my own. Had family and friends, had support system. Still messed up. It wasn't until Jesus Christ came into my life, January the 5th, 1976, that He changed my life. And like the old songwriter wrote, He's still working on me. And guess what? He's still working on you too. But here He talks about He satisfies us. You know, the system, the world system delivers only death, pain, and heartache. Let's be honest. I turn on the TV, my wife says, what are you going to watch? She says, oh, I'm going to see the news. See, you know, sometimes the first question, why? Why do you want to see the news? Look at what's out there. Well, I just like to kind of be aware. In conversation, I visit somebody and they say, well, did you hear? Do you know? Did you see about? Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But I want to turn on the news. And what I see coming across that screen all the time is something that a world system delivers, only death, pain, and heartache. And yet when I read the Word of God and I study the Word of God and I have my devotions in the Word of God and I pray through the Word of God, I find that the Father gives us life, peace, and blessing. The world system gives us death. The Father gives us life. The world system gives us pain. The Father gives us peace. The world system gives heartache. The Father gives blessing. So you can know that when those times when you're going through the death, the pain, and the heartache, that's not from the Father. Not according to the Scriptures. The Father wants to give you life. The Father wants to give you peace. He wants to give you blessing. Why? Because the world cannot satisfy, but we truly know that the Father God in heaven abundantly satisfies the heart of man, and He does this simply by being who He is. God does not go against His nature. This is who He is. He wants to satisfy your soul and mine. He not only does that, but He strengthens us. In verse 5, the Bible says, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, I was telling folks in the first service the other day, I looked in the mirror and I realized I'm not half the man I used to be. I'm 2.5 times the man I used to be. Amen? And I said to my wife, boy, I just, you know, things are getting more snug. And, you know, you start to know something's going on when your shoes are getting snug. Right? For me, you know. And so my wife persuaded me. She said, well, honey, wouldn't you just go for a walk? Just go for a walk. And that's how it often starts. You know, I go for the walk. And so I put on my little, I don't play basketball, but I call them basketball shorts. I don't know what else to call them. But I put on these shorts, you know, and I put my sneakers on and tie them up. And I put my shirt on, get my cap on. And a few years ago, my wife and kids got me one of these little square things that can hold a whole bunch of music and holds a whole bunch of messages and all that. So I take that and I pin it to the back of my hat and put on my ear clips, you know, and go tearing down Church Street and take a right. And I'm tearing all the way down to where they tell me it's private property. You're not welcome here. Turn around and go back. So I go there and I touch the sign, you know, and I'm feeling good about it. The walk, you know, and I'm really sweating. I'm not, by nature, I'm not a heavy perspiration person. I'm not one of these people that the moment they lift a hammer, you know, the faucet's dripping off their nose. I'm not like that. I do perspire, but not like that. But I'm doing this walk, and man, it's coming off me. And I'm thinking, boy, this is good. This has to be good. My body's telling me, gosh, you haven't done this in a while. Keep this up. You know, I'm really sweating it out. And so I'm on my way back. And I can see a car coming down the road with his blinker on, and he starts to make the turn, and I'm just about to, and neither one of us really want to give. So what do? I decide, well, I'll run it. You know, it's only about 40 feet across, right? So I figure, well, I'll run. So I run, and he gives me a wave and starts turning in. But when I got to the other side, I was, and then I finished my walk the rest of the way home. I thought of this verse right here. The Bible says he satisfies our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. In Isaiah chapter 40, 31, the Bible says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So God gives us strength to run the race. God gives us strength to fight the fight. God gives us strength to live the life. And there's not a one of us here. If we passed the sheet around and said, listen, if you agree with this, sign this. If we put on that sheet right there, how many of you would like to renew your strength and mount up with wings as eagles and run and not be weary and walk and not faint? Everybody, I'm sure, would sign that list and say, that's what I want. And I'd sign it too. I'd sign it twice. But then the same verse says, But those who wait on the Lord have those things. You see, it takes us right back to the psalmist saying, bless the Lord, O my soul. He's blessing for all. Don't let me forget any of your benefits. In fact, at the very end of the psalm, as we stated earlier, he goes individually, bless the Lord, O my soul, to corporately saying, every one of us should praise the Lord and thank him for all that he does. But I can't help but thinking about this here, this waiting on the Lord. I want to see the benefit of his fullness. Wait on the Lord. I want to see the one, I want to see him work in healing our iniquities. Wait on the Lord. Forgiving our iniquities. I want to see him work in healing our soul's diseases. Wait on the Lord. I want to see him work through his loving kindness and his tender mercies. I want to see that crown, God just envelop us with his crown of grace. Wait on the Lord. If there's anybody in Scripture throughout, in the Old Testament especially, that we see, who was a man after God's own heart, who had some serious issues come up in his life, he was David. But David is here in Psalm 103 saying, bless the Lord, O my soul. So many times we pray, God bless me. God bless my wife, bless my husband, bless my family. God bless my job. God bless my home. When's the last time in your prayer life you turned that around and said, God, I want to bless you for my wife. I want to bless you for my husband. I want to bless you for my family. I want to bless you for my job. See, that's part of the Christian walk, is it not? We could take out a sheet of paper and say, if I said, okay, write down all the blessings God's bestowed upon you, you could write, brrr, turn a page, brrr, turn a page. Brrr. When we stop and think about it, when we stop and begin to count them out, I'm going to tell you what, folks, we get more blessings than what we truly deserve from Almighty God. So let's just end with this. With all these great blessings and benefits in view, would you not say with me that he's worthy of our worship? Would you not say with me that he's worthy of our praise? Question, is he getting it? Is he getting it? Only you can answer that as it comes or doesn't come from you. I've asked Matt, as we have so much to thank God for, there's a little a song, I believe it's our Matt Redman, I think his name. Matt's put together a little thing for us. He's going to play this song. Think of the song, the words of the song. Maybe you know it, you might want to sing along with it as it gets going. But there's a very powerful message in the words. And consider blessing the Lord all your soul and not forgetting the benefits you receive from him.